We've been hearing all about the resurrection. So I'm going to talk about the resurrection because the resurrection is really vitally important for each of us to believe. Remember, there was one of the apostles who was no longer there at the resurrection. His name was Judas. And that is the guy who betrayed Jesus. So he's out of the picture. So when the apostles met after the resurrection and after Jesus ascended into heaven, they decided we must get a replacement for that man because he chose to go his own way. And it had to be someone who knew that there was a resurrection. So they picked two guys and they drew straws. And whoever the straw fell on, that was the person who they were going to choose to be, to take the place of Judas. Okay, so we're just going to pray first. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your presence with us. I thank you for all these children and for every adult in this place, Lord. I pray your mighty blessing on our lives and that we will just open our hearts to your word. Hallelujah. So what I want to do is to give a full technicolor description of what happened on the resurrection day. I would suggest to all of you readers to take your Bibles and to go through every single passage, because in all of the Gospels there is the account of the resurrection. And even if you have to write them down or to copy and paste, whatever way you do it, okay, and you read all the accounts of the Gospels and you'll get a big technicolor vision of the resurrection and what it's about. Was it just a New Testament thing? Absolutely not. Because we know in the scriptures, okay, remember when something happened in what we consider the New Testament, in the time of Jesus, the writers of the Gospels and the writers of the book of Acts, they had to give a reason for it. So what they did was they looked at the Old Testament and they took something from that and they said, this happened because it was written. So in one of the Psalms, and it's Psalm 16 verse 10, what it says is that he would not, okay, that God raised up Jesus. He would not leave his soul in hell, neither would he suffer his Holy One to see corruption. That means decay. So when Jesus was put into the tomb after he was executed, after he was crucified, he was put in a tomb, there was cloths wrapped around him, and he was laid in that tomb. And they put a big stone in front of it. We know that, don't we? Yeah. And then, okay, 3 days and three nights after that, Jesus was no longer in the tomb, okay? So, in the book of Acts, it says also the very same thing. But God raised him up, having loosed him from the pains of death, since it was impossible to hold, that he could be held by death, okay? So I would just encourage each and every one of us, each and every person here, to read the scriptures and find out what does it say about the resurrection. Jesus, of course, in Revelation, the last book in the Bible, he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And in chapter 1 and verse 18, he says, I am the living one. I was dead and I'm alive forever and ever more. That's what Jesus said in the book of Revelation. So he was dead and now he's alive, okay? So was there a resurrection account in the Old Testament? There was. There was actually three. I'll give you the references. Anyone who's taken notes can write it down, okay? 1 Kings 17, 17 to 24. That's the widow's son. And the second reference is 2 Kings 4, 18 to 37. That's the Shunammite woman's son. two guys, okay? And then there was a very strange event took place, okay? There was a funeral on in Israel, and it was an open coffin. They didn't have sealed coffins. And as they were going along in the funeral procession, these Jewish people, these Israelites, were attacked by a bunch of Moabites. They were raiders. And of course, they saw that they were coming. So what they did was, they found someplace, the nearest tomb that they could find, that was convenient, and they threw the body into the tomb, yeah? What do you think happened? As soon as the body hit the bones of the person that was in the tomb, his name was Elisha, the body came back to life. That was a resurrection. He got up out of the grave. And, okay, so you can read that for yourself, okay? In 2 Kings 13, in verse 20 to 21. Now, in the New Testament, we read about Naaman's son, the widow of Naaman, her son, and Jesus touched that child, and he rose up from the bed, and the people were amazed, they were in awe. It says, a mighty prophet has visited us, and God has visited his people. That's what the people said at the time. So that's in Luke 7 and verses 11 to 17. And again, there was Jairus' daughter. And what Jesus said at that time, he says, don't be afraid, just believe. And of course, we read in John's Gospel then, in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, the account of Lazarus. Now, Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. And he got word, he was out in Galilee somewhere, and he got word that Lazarus is sick. And then Lazarus died. And Jesus said, well, he's only sleeping, really, you know. And the apostles thought, well, if he's sleeping, he'll wake up again. And it was 4 days before Jesus actually got to Jerusalem. And as he approached Jerusalem, and Lazarus lived in a place called Bethany, he had two sisters. Anyone know the names of the sisters? Martha and Mary. And Martha was a lady who used to do a lot of fussing. She cleaned, and she was a very fussy woman. And she used to invite people in, and they'd have meals in their house and that. She was good at hospitality. But Mary was slightly different. She loved to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him talk. And Martha at one stage complained to Jesus and said, are you not worried that she's left me to do all the housekeeping myself? And Jesus said to her, you worry and fret about lots of things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has picked the better part, and it's not going to be taken from her, yeah? So as Jesus came into the place, Martha met Jesus. If you had been here, my brother would not have died, she said. And Jesus said, do you know, even now, you know, he will live again. And Martha said, and this is what, okay, she believed. She said, I believe he will rise again on the last day. As each and every one of us who live in this world, one day there's going to be a resurrection. And what we want to make sure is that we're all involved in it. So Jesus said, he will rise again on the last day. And then Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, whoever believes in Jesus, will not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe this? This is what Jesus said. She says, I do. I believe that he will rise again on the last day. She didn't fully comprehend or understand what Jesus was saying. And then she went back into the house and she told Mary, the Lord is there, Jesus is there. And so the two of them came out. And then Jesus had a conversation with Mary at that stage, and said that, you know, had you been here, he wouldn't have died, you know. So Jesus' presence alone would have kept him alive. This is what she believed. So that is the resurrection there. Also, there was resurrection other than that, okay? When Jesus rose again, okay, there was an earthquake in Jerusalem. And many of the people who were faithful and had gone on, put in the graves, they rose up. And they were seen around Jerusalem. I'll give you the reference for that. It's Matthew 27, 50 and 54. Also in the book of Acts, you have Tabitha, or Dorcas. She was dead, and the apostles came and raised her up. And there was one other character as well, and he was at a meeting, something similar to this, except there was three stories high, and he was sitting on the window. Could you imagine yourself sitting on a window, and it's three flights below? And because the meeting went on and on a bit, he got tired and fell asleep. And lo and behold, what happened? Any idea? Fell out the window. And he landed on the ground dead. Paul went straight down. And you'll be amazed when you read the accounts, okay? Something that the prophets did way back, those first two resurrections, Paul did in the book of Acts. And he brought that, through the power of God, of course, he brought that person back to life. Okay, so there was actually 10 resurrections mentioned in the scriptures. The Sadducees, there was two groups in Israel. There was Pharisees and Sadducees. They believed different things. They were all Jews, but they believed different things. I can't say we're all Irish. We're all human beings. But yes, some people believe one thing and others believe another thing. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees, they believed in the resurrection. They believed in supernatural, they believed in angels and so on, okay? But Jesus said to those Sadducees, have you not read where it's written, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob? Yeah? This is what God says. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. I am the God of the living, yeah? Not of the dead. And this is exemplified, okay? Because if you remember, when Jesus walked around the promised land, one day he went out for a hike. Where did he go? Up a high mountain, okay? With Peter, James, and John. And while they were up there, there was a vision. There was two other people up there. One of them was Elijah, and one of them was Moses. Do you think, is that possible? Moses had been dead quite a while at this stage. And now the guys who were looking on, they saw Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Peter was beside himself. He didn't know what to say. And he said, Lord, it's good that we're here. Will I make three tents? One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But what I'm saying is, these guys had gone on to heaven many, many years before that. And now here they were having a little conversation with Jesus on a mountain in Israel. Isn't that amazing? But that's the power of God. Because even though we die, we still will live. And that's what the scripture tells us. Now I want to just look at what happened, okay? We know that when Jesus was put in the tomb, he was dead. How do we know he was dead? Because he was on the cross and they crucified him and they stuck a spear in him and out came blood and water. That was the end of life. So there was two characters. One of them was Joseph of Arimathea and the other guy was Nicodemus. They took him and they wrapped bandages around him. They wrapped him up in bandages, put him in the tomb. How did he get in there? They carried him in, okay? And they put a stone in front of the tomb. But early on the first day of the week, the first day of the week was a Sunday, just like today. The Jewish people called a Sunday the first day of the week. We think Monday is the first day of the week. It's the first day we go to work. But the Jews believed that Sunday was the first day of the week. But this was the day in Matthew 16. The priests and that, They went to Pilate because even though Jesus was in the tomb and he had been there at this stage almost a day, they went to Pilate and said, listen, while he was alive, Jesus, this guy said that he's going to rise again. Now, whether they believed he was going to rise or not, or whether someone was going to come and steal the body, we don't know what they thought. But they didn't want to take any chances. So they said, can we have a guard and can we put a seal on the tomb? So Pilate was vexed and he said, okay, you have a guard, you see to it, do it. Make it as secure as you know how. But on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, there was an earthquake, the stone rolled away, there was an angel sitting on it. The soldiers that were there were petrified and they froze in their position. They were like dead men. That's what the scripture says. And we know from the scripture that Mary, Magdalene, Joanna, and other ladies came along because they wanted to finish the work that they were doing on the body of Jesus. And as they came, they were talking among themselves. Who's going to roll away the stone? It's a big stone. But when they got there, the stone was rolled away. So Mary Magdalene went back and told Peter and John, the stone is rolled away. So the guys came rushing. And the youngest was John. He was running fast, so got there first. But when Peter got there, he went straight in and he saw the clothes, the linen clothes that Jesus had been wrapped in, just lying there. And the two guys left and they left the ladies in the garden. Now, Mary went over to the mouth of the tomb and she looked in. And what did she see? Two angels, one at the head and one at the foot. And the angel said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Jesus, whom you are seeking, is not here, for he is risen. And he's going to go ahead of you into Galilee. He'll see you there. But Mary didn't understand it. And she was weeping and crying, and she turned around, and lo, the gardener, I'll go over and ask him. She went over, she was crying and weeping and saying, if you have taken my Lord, tell me where he is. Because Jesus had said to her, why are you weeping and what are you looking for? She didn't recognize Jesus. But then Jesus called her name, said Mary. And she turned and saw and she said Rabboni, which means teacher. And she went to cling to him. And he said, go and tell my disciples, I'm going ahead of them into Galilee. I'll see them there. Now, what the scripture says is that those ladies left the garden with fear and great joy. What do you think fear is in the scriptures? What does it mean? They left with fear. Was it that they were afraid? Really, what the Bible tells us is that it was respect, reverence for God. Great joy. Why great joy? Because here are these ladies who saw two angels and had a meeting with Jesus who they didn't recognize at first, and now they were leaving the garden. Great joy in their hearts. You know why? Because it was a terrible weekend. They had seen Jesus being crucified. They had seen him being put in a tomb. He was the hope, they thought. And their hope was dashed, gone. But Jesus had told them he would rise again on the third day. So, of course, they were joyous because they knew that their Savior was alive. They went back and they reported it to Peter and James and John and the rest of the apostles. We've seen Jesus, he's alive. But the disciples, the scripture tells us that he did not believe. Actually, in Mark chapter 16, verse 14, it says, he rebuked them, Jesus did, for their hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him risen. So Mary and the rest of them went and told the message, he's alive. And these people did not believe, even though he had said it many times. Now, those soldiers that were guarding the tomb, what did they do? They went straight into the city. They went to the priests and the religious leaders. And they said, they reported everything they said. There was an earthquake. We saw an angel. The stone rolled away. Supernatural things happened. We can't let this message out. This is what the priest said. He gave them a bribe. Do you know what a bribe is? Anyone knows what a bribe is? What is a bribe? It's a backhander. Do you know what a backhander is? No? Okay, so they gave them some money. Listen, don't say anything about this to anyone. They had seen a miraculous event. An angel came down. The stone was rolled away. The tomb was empty. Take this money and say nothing. And you know what they told them to do? Tell a lie. If anyone asks you, say we fell asleep and the disciples came along during that time while we were asleep and they stole the body. Amazing, isn't it? They saw something supernatural, they were petrified and they took the money and they told a lie about what happened. So Jesus was seen by over 500 people alive after his crucifixion. And we can read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's all about the resurrection, okay? And I just want to look at one little piece of it in that. And we won't be that long more. In chapter 15... verses 20 to 23. Right, it says, but now Christ is risen from the dead. He has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also comes the resurrection of the dead. By man came death. That's Adam, okay? Because of what Adam did, the consequence of that is passed on to all of us. What happened in the garden affects all of us. By his action, okay, all of us are sinners. Did you ever tell a lie? Yeah? Did you ever break something and says, no, I didn't do it? That's a lie. Yeah. So we've all done something like that, okay? That means that we've all sinned and we all deserve not to go to heaven. But this is the reason that Jesus came. He came to free us from that. So by one man, Adam, we've all sinned. By one man also, and this is Jesus, we're all made alive. Each in their own turn. And it says that Jesus is the first fruits. Jesus is the first fruits, okay? Really what it means is that he is the first to rise from the dead. And as a result of his resurrection from the dead, we also will rise from the dead at his coming. You know, it's an event that's going to happen someday. We don't know when, but it could happen any day. It could happen soon. It could happen later, but it will happen. But it's for us to believe. Christ is the first fruits. And where did they get that term from? That's a Jewish term, actually. And today we hear people saying, Happy Easter. Easter actually is it's a term that was brought in 300-400 years after Jesus. But they would have always said in those days, back between Christ risen, it's a great day. Christ is risen. And they celebrate his resurrection. So we can say happy first fruits or happy resurrection day, happy Easter. It's up to you. I would like to say happy first fruits or happy resurrection day. Because I believe, okay? Now, just briefly before we're going to take the bread and the cup, okay? And I just want to tell you about two other characters. They were on the road to Emmaus, two disciples. And they heard the message from the ladies. Mary Magdalene told everyone, Jesus is risen. And these guys, they were on the road to Emmaus. Emmaus is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They didn't have motorbikes or bicycles or cars or taxis. They walked. So 7 miles, how long would it take you to walk 7 miles? Maybe a couple of hours. And as they walked along the road, Jesus came along. They didn't recognize him. Think about it. Why wouldn't they recognize Jesus? Yeah, it's a good answer. Yeah, supernatural maybe, but he was still real, and he wanted to show them that he was really, really a real person. Okay, because we know that when he went into the upper room, okay, he says, "Have you got anything to eat?" Spirits and ghosts don't eat. Have you got anything to eat? He says, touch me. Does a ghost have flesh and bones? But he wants this very same thing for each and every one of us. He wants us to know that he is truly alive. So he was walking with these two guys. And they were sad. They had a horrible weekend, okay? And they were downcast. And he says to them, this is Jesus walking, said to them, why are you so sad? And why is your spirit down? Why are you so downcast? They looked at him and says, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know what has happened this weekend? Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet mighty in word and deed, our hope, our leaders took Jesus and had him handed over to the Romans and they crucified him. And they were telling Jesus all about this. And that's why they were sad. But Jesus was standing there. He was risen from the dead. And he said to them, he says, oh, so slow to understand the gospel. And he began with Moses and the prophets and he brought them through everything that the Old Testament said would happen. And as he got to Emmaus, he went to go off his own way. It was late in the evening at this stage. And they said, come in and have something to eat with us. And when they went in, he had some food with them. And then he took up some bread. Just think about it, the Last Supper, he took up some bread and he broke the bread. And he gave thanks to God for it, and he passed it out. And straight away, as he broke the bread, they recognized him. Because those disciples were there with him at the Last Supper. Well, at least one of them was, anyway. And he disappeared out of their midst. And those two guys, they were after walking 7 miles now from Jerusalem. They had a new lease of life. They saw the resurrected Jesus. And they rushed back to Jerusalem to tell all the others he's alive. And we can leave here this morning, like those women left the garden, with fear and great joy, fear, awesome, reverential respect for God, for who he is, and the promises that he said he would keep, and great joy, knowing that Jesus is risen from the dead. And because of that, we're going to live forever. I'm going to live forever. My name is written in heaven. How about you? Do you know that you are God's child? It says that he came to his own people and his own people did not accept him. But whoever does accept him, he gives them the right to become children of God. It's amazing. It's a wonderful story account of what Jesus has done for us.
when the woman recognized Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, they have fear and joy as we share the Lord's Supper. Let us take the juice, the wine, and the bread with the same fear and joy, fear of reference what Jesus has done for us, and joy in the sense of celebrating what Jesus has done for us. It is a life and death situation. It is a life and death for Jesus. He willingly laid down his life for us. Willingly. He has every power when they arrested him. Every power and authority to stop what they were doing, to stop the torture, to stop the work that they put him on the cross. He has every power. He even said that my Father, if I ask him, he could send 12 legions of angels. Each legion is about 6,000. He has every power to stop it, but yet Jesus laid down his life willingly for us. He gave his life for us so we can live. It is a life and death. Steve just shared with me just now of the news in Independence. Yesterday in Sri Lanka, there were bombings in churches and hotels. There's 140 of people lost their lives, and 400 were injured. All of those people who have lost their lives, the one who has given their life to Jesus is alive in heaven. They wouldn't be in heaven. The consequences of it is hell. So it is a life and death. So as we come to take the juice and the bread, we can do that religiously, and that wouldn't make any difference when we come to our death. Jesus will say, I do not know you. Who are you? So we have to come and recognize what Jesus has done for us on the cross. When we go to church, when we take the juice and when we share the Lord's Supper, it is not a religious thing we do. It is we come with fear and joy. Fear in reference of recognizing thanksgiving of what Jesus has done. And joy in a celebration to receive from God the gift of life eternal. So I invite all of you, all of us, each one of us, when we have given, those one who have given your life to Jesus, as Jesus laid down his life for us, we give him our lives and receive from him eternal life. So please come and let's share this together. Come, don't be shy. If you have given your life to Jesus, come and take it. So as we take up the bread, we give thanks, and we give thanks that Jesus laid down his life for us. We're doing this in remembrance, and we celebrate our risen Lord. So let's take this together. Thank you, Jesus. And we take up the cup and we give thanks to our Lord Jesus. He gave us his blood, his life, for the forgiveness of our sins. We have all sinned. Not one of us can say we have never sinned. But we're receiving forgiveness. So thank you, Jesus, for your blood that covered our sins. Thank you, Lord God, of your sacrifice. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you lay down your life for us that we can live. We glorify your name and we celebrate that each one of us that has taken the wine and the bread, that we will live with you, will see you. And we remember those brothers and sisters in Sri Lanka, those ones who have their families. Lord God, we just lift them up in our prayers, Lord God. And we just pray, Lord God, that you strengthen them. And those people who do not know you, we also lift up their families, Lord God, and we pray, Lord, have mercy on their souls. And I pray, Lord God, that they'll, like open doors or different ministry, we'll be able to sow into their lives and reveal of who you are to them. We glorify your name. We praise you, Lord God, of the day that we celebrate our risen Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.